It's time for Breaking Chain with the Men of Valor, where we will have open dialogue with our men on issues of personal, family, and more. It's Breaking Chain with the Men of Valor on YAT Radio.
Man, this is YAT Radio. I'm waiting on the prompt to come in right now. This is Reverend Lionel Gant coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. And we want to welcome you to the Young Adult Talk Radio once again. Do I have my callers on the line?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We was waiting on the prompt to come in. Introducing the show. All right. This is YAT, Young Adult Talk Radio, and we're coming in live right now. And I have my son here. I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce yourself. Then Prince Yoshi will ask you to go ahead and introduce yourself. And if we have anyone else on the line, we're asking you to come on in and introduce yourself.
Hey, man. Hey, everybody. I'm Lionel Gant Jr. Again, I'm a male rights activist, and I'm here on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to continue to break some chains as we do. And again, it's good to be back in the mix with Brother Yesher, my father. And shout out to Minister Roderick, absent today. But we're going to hold it down in his stead. Let's get it.
Amen. Prince Yesher.
Yes, sir. I'm your brother.
Go ahead.
Prince Yesher. I am your brother, Prince Yesher, as they call me. I'm a prince because we're all royalty. Until the king comes and he anoints us as kings and priests. And I just want to say thank you. Good opportunity to have. And it seems like we have a good show and a good discussion lined up. And I thank you all for having me.
Amen. Do we have anyone else on the line? Is Minister Moore on the line? All right. Well, we're going to start off the conversation today talking about. I'm going to call it crabs in a bucket, y'all. I'm going to call it crabs in a bucket. And y'all know that familiar saying about, you know, about our people being like crabs in the bucket. By the time one trying to crawl out, another one reach up and grab his leg and pull him back in. I want to talk about the fact of the breakdown between our generation, the older generation, and the millennial generation, and the breakdown between the younger generation and the millennials. Why we can't come together as a people? Why we all separated and divided one against another? Why we can't obtain real black unity? All right? So I'm going to let y'all young men go with that from there. Because I see that as one of our greatest problems. You know, I see how black women, older black women, grab their pocketbooks and just because a young boy walking by them with dreads in their head, and the boy could be a college student, the boy could be his own business, he could be owning his own business, but because he got dreads in his head, you know, they're clenching their pocketbooks in fear. All right, I'm gonna let y'all go ahead and go with that. Why we can't come together as black men?
Lana, you want to take off, Lana?
Sure. I'll put in my input. Why is it that we can't come together, new generation and old generation? Well, I think that the problem is, and the old generation ain't going to want to hear it, man, but the truth of the matter is you got soft. You got soft when it came to raising your household. So we're just a product, if I can say it like that, we're just a product of what you allowed to become. And that's where the disconnect is, where the older values of, you know, like my father, people growing up from the 50s on up to the 80s, early 80s when I was born, there started to be a disconnect. The propaganda that the media had been using and the government had been using to separate the
You couldn't whoop the children no more. You couldn't whoop them in school. You couldn't do none of that stuff no more. You couldn't put your hands on them and all that. And that.
I mean,
a whole bunch of stuff happened.
That's one of many things that I'm speaking on. When I speak on,
right,
is that you got lazy. Is that you?
Right.
You are okay. I'm gonna dive back in history. Okay, like when the drug game hit. Me and my dad have had this discussion before. Even something like that. When the epidemic of crack hit our communities, and, you know, before I was born in, like, the early 80s, 85, it was already full-blown at this time. I look at what the generation before that even did with something like that that's illegal. I'm not condoning the selling or putting down a poison of our community, but when the older generation took that and they profited off of that, and they did nothing but destroy the community then. They aided in the destruction of the community then, and they still don't necessarily want to take accountability for that. It has literally produced the products of the young rebel children that you have now that have superseded their, you know, expectations of how bad boyish they can be. All that was a factor. You didn't put any core values even in something like that. There was no core values. Everybody was greedy trying to make their money, and it was about the dollar, which that's the problem. We respect the dollar, which does not even have a black man's face on it. We respect the dollar more than we respect anything else, and it's been like that back then, and it's even worser now. So that's the big disconnect. The only thing that anybody respects is money. We are respecting somebody with money, or we're respecting our own brother. And that's also to add on to where the young men definitely disconnect from the old men now, because they look at the old men, well, you had your time under the sun, you tired, I'm making money, I'm getting it, I'm doing this. When we talk about the music and all this, I'm a rapper, I'm this, I'm that, I'm having it. They respect green, and they don't respect black. And that comes from a lack of no core value being continually implemented from the generations back then to now. There was a disconnect somewhere there, and I believe it was the household. When they pushed men out of the household with their women, and black men back then not fighting strong enough, hard enough to stay in their right position, then it trickled over. You allowed your women to, you know.
Well, they gave the women a Section 8. They gave the women the custody of the children.
And this is the thing, y'all backed down. Now we're to the point where we're trying to revitalize that era. And it's going to be hard because right there, the ball was dropped. In my opinion, it was just literally dropped. You know, they incarcerated most of our strong black men, killed some of our strong black men, and then instead of us continuing to have people stand at the forefront and continue to keep the black man in the family and in the household, they got soft, they got lazy, they just accepted. Much like what's going on now, we are just accepting to a degree, letting our young men run wild.
Okay, can I interject? Okay. Okay, you looking at it, and you looking at it as we did it. We did not do it. There was actually a campaign against black males. Okay, they came up with the strategy of forcing us to pay for our children with the child support. They came up with that strategy that locked us up in jail. They came up with the strategy. They flooded our community with drugs, knowing that we didn't have any job, didn't have any way. They mass incarcerated us. They did, you know, these were attacks against the black family. They told the mother that, yeah, you can have the welfare, and we'll give you the food stamp. I remember, you know, we used to didn't have food stamp, but we used to have to go pick up welfare food boxes where we had the yellow grits and we had the government cheese and all that in it. Then they went to food stamp where you could actually go to the store and profit the white grocery stores with food stamps. They said, you can get all of these benefits, Section 8 and everything. You can get all of these benefits, but there cannot be a man in the house. They separated the black family. They broke down the black family, and their strategy was to annihilate the black family. Okay, I'm going to let y'all go back in.
So, again, this is my thing about that. We cannot keep on. It's there. Go back to what I said. Where's the accountability? They put the drugs there. Did you have to sell them?
No. No, that's my fight.
They took it. They was kicking the black man. They were kicking the black man out of his home, making him pay child support, pushing him further away from
him. He should have married her.
He should have fought hard to stay where he was at. Again, your generation, they do not like to admit, they rolled over at a certain point. And the core values that
I refused before
it came to the early 80s, I'll just leave it there. Around the 80s, it was really starting to break up real bad back then. AIDS and everything had hit. But those core values were no longer passed out. My generation is the last, I feel like, of the we're the millennial children, as they like to call it. We're the last one that has that kind of knowledge of what a black family unity used to look like. We still have a piece of what that is. And it's up to us now That's why I go so hard on the male rights and getting us back in line, because without a man in that household, without a man's presence there, it basically becomes a situation where there really is an agenda to completely destroy masculinity. And like I said, not to get too much off topic from...
Well, do that include white men?
It includes masculinity, period. Masculinity, period. Masculinity, period. But the difference between the white man and the black man is that the white man controls 90% of the wealth. So if it came to a point where they felt agitated enough to stop a woman, guess what they're going to do? They're going to put their money down on the table and shut it down. But see, that's the thing. We don't control enough of the wealth as black people to fight that kind of fight. So we have to come together and pool all our resources together. So the separation is we cannot get the older people and the younger people to see the true enemy that's in front of us, is that in this country, there's a complete attack on masculinity, wanting to destroy the black families. And then two is they want to continue to control the money like they've done for so long, because that is what they use to gain all their resources and, you know, stay above water. In this country, we have to figure out a way to generate our own income and bypass that wealth gap. And that's when we talk about coming together. I'll let Brother Yesha go ahead and put his input on, but that's my opinion.
Praise him. How y'all doing?
Glory to God.
How y'all doing? First of all, I believe those are two really good points. I understand both points exactly, and I agree with both points exactly. But we're really talking from a slave's mentality, right? This is what the white man did to us. So this is the older generation's mindset. We had to fight. They enslaved us, and they did this, and they did that, and we was always victims of this. Number one, they can't tell us at nothing.
Yes, let me jump in here. No, in my generation, we had to fulfill the promise. We had to become the black fireman. We had to integrate. We had to become the black chief of police.
You didn't have to do nothing, sir. That's what he's trying to say to you.
Okay.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's what he's saying. You didn't have to do nothing.
What? Hold on a minute.
You didn't have to. There was no law.
We came up in a generation where we didn't want our children to suffer none of the things that we had to suffer through. So yes, we brought them up in the nice houses. We got the two cars. We did all of that.
Which is things that were created, and those things, all of those things that you're talking about, were slave taught thought process and mindsets. Go to school, get a good education, get a good job, taught to you by the master. Because see, employee, sir, means slave. Employer means boss. They taught you all to be slaves. They freed you from slavery to make you a slave all over again. And so what I'm saying to you is, sir, and I don't mean no disrespect to none of the older people in our mindset, but I agree to what your son is saying, and I agree to what you're saying. But the point I'm trying to get out here, where I was going to, is this. We keep being manipulated by our weaker people who keep telling us what we got to do. You ain't have to go to no school. You could have started a business. You ain't have to go get no food stamps. You could have made a farm. I don't care what goes on with women. Women follow where the money and wealth go, because they need three things, like the Bible say: food, shelter, and duty of marriage. They got to have a baby. They got a baby clock. They got to have a shelter for them to have babies and have clothes. And they got to have food so they can continue to live. If we just did that without their uses and resources, without asking white master, let's march around in a circle talking about we need a job. I don't need no job from you. I don't need nothing from you. But see, we had a bad mentality because we already had a Stockholm slave syndrome of dependency. All that marching, all that crying, all that junk was a dependency, begging people who hate you to this very day to give you something, knowing they don't want to give you nothing. And what do? They give you something, they take something, take more from you than what they gave you. They say, okay, you niggas want jobs? We ain't going to give you niggas jobs. We're going to give your woman the job, and we're going to throw you in jail or prison or army or war. That's what they did. Oh, you marched around? Y'all gonna march around together with your hands in the sky with a pro? Bump all you niggas. We still ain't gonna give you male niggas no jobs. We gonna give the job to your woman now. And we gonna make her an employee, which means slave.
instead of any of you all saying, let's fight the whole system and say, I'm not going to just bow down to nothing you say. No, we don't need your food stamps. You know why, baby? Because we're going to go to the back of this yard right here or the back of this church right here. Forget what them pastors and them lying thief dogs who was taught by these same white folk. Forget what they say. We're going to feed our own self and say, no, I ain't leaving my household. See, that's an option. That ain't no – see, we've been told. Our families is always saying, we've had to fight and we had to do – you ain't have to do nothing. These white people are weak and pathetic. They are nothing. They are degenerative genes. And I love some of them, but a lot of them, the truth is, if you go to school, you go to college right now, and you go to get a science degree or any degree, and you got to take something called biology, the father of genetics, Gregor Mendel, states that they are a recessive, weak gene. They are nothing. But we have a slave Stockholm mentality, always asking them for something that we, like the lady when we was on your show that one day. What are we going to do to the president? And they done stopped all the money. We don't know what to do. That's, you sound like a slave. Shut your mouth up. That's what I really wanted to tell her, to her face. Stop crying and complaining about the United States government like the United States government care anything for black people. They got laws, that we found. They got a whole video set that state that we're going to do everything in our power for them never to own any real estate, knowing that owning real estate is the number one way to financial freedom. And they created laws that the government that's on the books to this very day that say we're going to automatically deny them the ability to own homes, to be homeowners. They got laws on the books right now to keep you as a slave, but you marching talking about what Donald Trump doing. You're a fool and an idiot. The Chinese don't care nothing about what Donald Trump doing. The Arab care less what Donald Orange Hair do. The Russian, the Pakistani, no other people in the world, in this world, care anything about what these white folks are doing except for the white folks and they slaves. When are we going to stop being slaves, number one? See, because when you own something, now you can tell your wife, like you used to tell your wife, don't you walk out that house wearing them clothes, girl. You look like a whore. You know how I know you're a whore? Because I can see your nipples and your vagina, baby. You can't dress like that, daughter. You royal, see? We own things, baby. We can't do these things. Now you can be a man in your house. That's what happens. You stop being a man. You start getting hooked on drugs because they put the drugs in your neighborhood. You didn't have to use them. But you thought in your mind, because you have a slave Stockholm mentality that you've been taught that we are breaking out of, because a slave needs or depends on their master, because the scripture says, and you shall be in want for everything. You're going to ask the white man for everything. We don't need him. He needs you. If you stop playing the NFL, he go broke. If you stop playing basketball, he go broke. The city of Atlanta will shut down right now. You got the power, because that's what the scriptures say, children of Israel. All the money is in your hands. All the inventions was made by you. What if you stop? What if all the high school football in Atlanta stopped today? You know how many counties would go broke? You know how fast Redan High School would lose all it? You know what the number one generating thing in a high school is? Football and sports, basketball. Now what happens when we say we ain't sending our sons out there? Well, we got to do. You a liar and a truth ain't in you. I ain't got to do nothing. See, that's what a slave is. A slave got to do something. So I understand both sides of it. We was coming from Stockholm Syndrome with a dependency mindset, depending on what they say. The white man said we got to do this, so we got to do this, and now we want to cry and sing him.
Okay. Let me cut back in here because, okay, we're living in America, all right?
Right,
and it takes money. It takes money to live anywhere. Okay.
So generate money because you're a business owner.
You're not on the streets, or unless you have a solid plan to make money to generate income. Now me, I grew
right.
up in a situation.
Right.
My granddaddy, we had gardens in the back of our house. We grew our
so
own
you got skills.
Okay.
Right.
We grew our own food. When I grew up
right.
as a man, guess what I did? I put that garden in my backyard. And we had garden food. We ate food out of the garden. My son is sitting right here. He can tell you that we grew our own collard green. We grew our own corn. We grew our own tomatoes.
Did we stop
that
system?
Okay. Now, there has to come. There has to be a way where you're gonna have to make money in order to live in America. You can't live in America.
Sell the food you grow. Sell the food you grow.
You can't live in America without money. So that
you
is
can,
that
sir.
Is, that is number one. That's number one.
Well,
now,
I'm telling you for a fact.
Now,
the Mexicans right now.
Address,
are living without money. Plenty of Mexicans are living without money.
Hold on a minute. No, they're not living without money. They're making money as a family unit. They're all going out
right.
watching this, doing
right.
Doing
but all of them ain't got paychecks.
They all,
but
all
of them
ain't
got paychecks.
Money together, and they're bringing that
together.
Money back. They're bringing that money back into one household. That's the same
but,
thing.
Hey, but one employee.
Back in the '60s, that's the same thing that Black America did. We went out into the
but
community,
stop.
Into the white community. We worked. We made our money, and we brought it back into the Black community. And
right.
we had, you know, we had our own. Okay, now that now what I want, what I want us to talk about now is the disconnect between our Black men today. Why we can't come
right.
together today? Why we are we separated today?
And
and
that's
what
we talk about,
saying,
sir. That's what we talk about right there.
Your house. You're the father of your house. Your generation was the father of your families. You are one man that kept that instilled in his core values in his household. How many men fell to the wayside collectively as a unit?
Bleeding.
What I'm saying, the ball was dropped. The ball
right.
was dropped. They gave up.
How
like
was
they,
the ball dropped when they were trying to provide a better life for you? They were trying to provide a better
the way,
that's why I agree
the
with
way they
that's
did
why
it,
I agree
sir.
With a better life in what? In what? In what? In their system?
Right.
Their way of what?
You try, that's like you're trying to.
Life? That's what's wrong
right.
with us as a race. We accept what they deem is what is a better life. What they
the way
deem
to get it, right.
professional
Go
career.
To work. Get a
they
job.
They are the ones that are pulling the strings. We sat back and
okay.
allowed them to manipulate us to believe that we had to join in what is white.
Okay.
Like
that,
it was right.
Martin Luther King.
We never should have integrated.
Luther
we never
King
should have integrated with their system.
Hold on,
integrate.
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
Integrate to a burning
about,
house.
Hold on.
No, we're talking about the same thing, sir.
Okay. We had, okay, look at what was happening here. Okay, we lived in a world that was segregated, where we had to ride on the
yep.
back of the bus, where we had to go into the back door of riches. We had to shop downstairs in the bargain basement. We so when those laws were passed, when those civil rights laws were passed, in my generation, I was a youth at that time, when those civil rights laws were passed, then we had to we had to we had we had